From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Monday, April 18th. Coming up, the University of Illinois removed its Native American mascot more than a decade ago, but such imagery remains at many high schools in the state. We'll learn more from Peter Medlin coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Testimony is expected to continue today in the trial of two Illinois guards charged with beating a prisoner. Robert Wildebohr reports.
Several correctional officers have testified they saw their colleagues Todd Scheffler and Alex Banta beat 65-year-old Larry Irvin in a vestibule at Western Illinois Correctional Center where there were no cameras. But those witnesses were forced to admit that they did not intervene. One said he told the guards the warden was nearby and then he walked away because he didn't want to be involved. Another told jurors that he knew about prior incidents happening in the vestibule of SEG, so as they approached it, he turned around and didn't look in because he didn't want to be involved. Irvin died from his injuries. The Department of Corrections would not provide info on the employment status of the guards who ignored the abuse. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
The ratification process has begun for a tentative agreement between the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 3700, and the University of Illinois regarding retroactive pay. The resolution comes after AFSCME protested at the Illini Union Tuesday, demanding the university listen and act on the union's calls to pay its clerical workers appropriately. The agreement includes retroactive pay going back to August 2021 and an additional pay increase for child care workers. AFSCME executive member Lisa Kelly says the latter was non-negotiable.
So at the beginning of the process, we kind of go through what are our priorities this time, and that was one of everybody's priorities. I mean, it was personally a hill I would die on, so to speak.
AFSCME shared the news of the agreement with its members Thursday night. It's yet to be approved, and it's still unclear when it will go into effect. Little League Baseball is starting another season of play. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports that for a Little League group in Champaign-Urbana, practices are about more than winning games.
Children aged 4 to 14 practice baseball at the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. Sean Green encourages every player, from the newbies to the veterans. He's been coaching with the first-string Little League group for 22 years, since his oldest son signed up with the league at age 4.
You'd be surprised at the parents that come up to me and said, thank you for what you did. You gave my kid some life. You gave him a shot in the arm that make him feel good about yourself, because a lot of coaches don't care. If you're not any good, guess what? You're not going to play.
This year, Green took over leadership of First String's baseball program. He aims to expand the mentorship side of the league. Over 140 kids make up the First String teams this season. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The number of active COVID-19 cases in Champaign County continues to rise. County health officials report nearly 900 active cases as of yesterday. That's nearly double the number from a week ago. But it's still far below the peak of about 7,000 active cases in January. There are 7 Champaign County residents hospitalized with COVID-19, and 37% of the county's ICU beds are currently available. The CDC says the rate of COVID transmission in Champaign County is medium and recommends that people at high risk for severe illness from COVID wear a high-quality mask when at indoor public places. Still to come, a look at the continued presence of Native American mascots at many high schools across Illinois. That story from Peter Medlin is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Dana Cronin, Illinois Public Media's agriculture reporter. Agriculture coverage has been an important part of WILL through its first 100 years. And this year, I'm really excited to focus more on the widespread environmental issues in Illinois linked to the agriculture industry. With your support, I plan to keep track of your drinking water, air quality, and the resilience of your land to safeguard a healthy environment here in central Illinois.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Nearly 2 years ago, Washington, D.C.'s NFL team changed its name. It had been deemed racist by indigenous groups for decades. Many Illinois schools still use native mascots. Peter Medlin reports on a few schools that may be moving away from them.
On a spring evening in 2021, the Friday night lights are bright in Morris. A massive banner on the school right next to the football stadium reads, Morris Football. Pride, integrity, tradition. Right next to the sign, fans pour in through a gate adorned with a cartoon of a Native person's face above a name. It's the same as the former name of the Washington Pro Team. Because it's considered offensive, we'll refer to it as our skins. Cars in the parking lot have stickers with big bold letters saying, our skin country. Just before the football game, the Morris marching band takes the field, led by a teenage girl, wearing face paint and what's supposed to be a native headdress and garb. The girl's parents are the mayor of Morris and a member of the school board. In January, that school board voted to remove the R-Skins mascot over the course of several years. Ted Trujillo was the only Native person on Morris's recent mascot committee that recommended the action. The Morris resident is a registered member of the Passamaquoddy tribe. He says he's been trying to get the school to change its name since he went there in the 1980s. The committee was tasked with providing the school board a report on whether they should change the nickname. They brought in research from groups like the American Psychological Association about the harm caused by Native mascots.
These mascots create a hostile learning environment for Native youth, instills prejudices. You know, a lot of this is tied into other issues like the high suicide rate. It diminishes self-esteem when a Native youth sees their traditions and customs that they've always held sacred being mocked and used for nothing but entertainment.
The committee dug into the history of the word R-skin. It was used to refer to Native skin color and the scalps of Natives turned in for bounties. They came to the conclusion that the word is a racial slur, and its use should not only be retired at the school, but also that the use of the word is a violation of the student handbook that prohibits derogatory slurs. Even though the board voted to change the mascot by 2025, Trujillo says he's concerned that future board members will reverse the decision. Just 15 minutes from Morris, the Minooka Indians are also considering their Native mascot. Julie Dye is a Potawatomi activist and educator. She says when schools have Native mascots, it's not just harmful to their students. It spreads to other schools they interact with. Opposing fans at a recent Minooka sports game held up "Scalp the R-Skin" signs. John Kane, a member of the Mohawk tribe, is a radio host and Native educator. He was asked by Minooka to give a presentation to their board's committee and answer questions. For Kane, it's pretty simple.
We're not your mascots.
The most common defense Kane hears from schools seeking to preserve their mascot is that it's meant to honor Natives.
It's not just not true because we aren't honored, but the reality is we were never considered, you know, as a people when they chose those mascots. They created these images and they recreate the characteristics not because they represent us, but because they want those characteristics to represent them. They'll liken, you know, football as, you know, some sort of battlefield.
Kane points out that hundreds of Native tribal nations have passed resolutions opposing Native mascots, and hundreds of schools have chosen to move away from those mascots. One thing that confuses Kane the most is that these are schools, places of education.
You would think that a school's responsibility should be to teach fairness and to break down these stereotypical images that are cast on people. But that's not what these schools are doing. They are promoting a stereotype.
He says you don't see mascots of other ethnic groups used as Friday night entertainment. Minooka has yet to decide whether they're going to retire the Indian mascot. They did change the name of their school newspaper from Peace Pipe Chatter to Nook News, and say they're considering changing the name of their at-risk student program, now called Project Indian. In 2019, Maine became the first state to ban the use of indigenous mascots. In Illinois, State Representative Maurice West of Rockford introduced legislation that would have required schools to get permission from a tribe within 500 miles to use a Native mascot. They also would have had to offer a course on, quote, Native American contributions to society. West says that bill has been sidelined for now in favor of one proposing a Native American curriculum for the state schools. That plan was shelved in committee this spring, but West says this summer he's putting together a working group of advocates, including federally recognized tribe members, to help craft the bill.
Our name is from a Native American tribe, so if any state in this union should appreciate and celebrate our Native American brothers and sisters, it should be Illinois.
Native educators like Julie Dye and John Kane say more education could be good, but they're skeptical. They hope the curriculum doesn't just glorify or justify the assimilation of Native people or become a way for schools to continue using offensive Native mascots. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be cloudy and breezy today with a slight chance of showers and a high of 48 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Robert Wildebor, Zainab Qureshi, Emily Hayes, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmean. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.